All right, great. We got both of them working. So we're at Faith Bible Church. It's 8/8/2013, and it's a Thursday night service. People still coming in, praise God. And we're teaching through a series which you all know, but just for the DVD ministry and internet. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the believer's life in the dispensation of grace. So this week we're going to deal with the ministry of the Holy Spirit producing joy in the believer. And if we have time, we're going to do the ministry of supplying and producing love in the Christian also. So we're going to get right to it. We're going to open up in prayer first, and then we'll get right into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we can come and we still live in a free enough country. We can come and just study your Word and worship you as we offer our minds and our bodies and our hearts to you, Lord. We thank you for a place to come and assemble. We thank you for a church that understands your grace and rightly dividing your Word so we don't get confused. We thank you, Lord, that we're containers of you, Father. We're the temple of your Holy Spirit. And so I offer my body, Lord, to your Holy Spirit to teach through me tonight. May everyone be comforted and especially edified, Father, built up in the faith. And anything that happens here, we give glory and honor and praise to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're going to start out at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. So 1 Thessalonians is right after Colossians. So you got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, then 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And this new Bible of mine is still sticking together. Okay. Wait a minute. Oh, I'm in 1 Timothy. No wonder. I said, that don't sound like the verse I was looking for. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. All right, I got it. Starting verse 5, last week we dealt with the empowerment in the Holy Spirit. And the gospel is powerful. You know, the good news of the gospel, given the Apostle Paul, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, it's powerful. You know, that's what saves a person, changes their eternity. And what Christ accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection, the Holy Spirit produces that the effects in our life as we appropriate by faith, applying the Word of God to our lives. And he says in verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost," or Holy Spirit, "and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." So you see two things there. The gospel comes with power, but there's also a power that were letters from Christ that people read. There's a power to our testimony. That's why it's very important that we learn to walk consistent by grace, because people will hear what we say, but if our walk is not consistent, I'm not talking about a perfect walk, but if they don't see that love and that application, they're not going to want to listen to us too much. And then he says in verse 6, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the Word of God in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost, so that ye became and samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Macedonia, that was a Philippian church. That's pretty impressive to me, because they were a pretty solid church. When Paul wrote to them, he had to deal with a little bit there, but they were a pretty solid church. And you see, how did it come? In verse 6, and ye became followers of us, so believers. And then, not only believers, what? Followers of grace, right? And of the Lord, because who gave Paul the message? He got it by direct revelation from Christ. So if we're going to follow Christ, we're going to have to follow Paul's instructions. Just like God gave Moses instructions for Israel, and if they followed him, they were obeying God. Same thing. Paul's our spokesman. But what we're looking at here, you received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost or in the Holy Spirit. So what were they going through? Afflictions, right? Put yourself in there. You're going through any afflictions in some way or another? You know, trials, tribulations, afflictions. But in the midst of that, what does it say we can have? Joy. So who gives us that joy? It's in the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit's in us. And as we're focused on Christ, it doesn't matter what's going on. It really doesn't. You can have joy. You know, it doesn't mean happiness is different than joy. Happiness comes from a Greek word that means happening. So when things are happening the way you like it, the way you want it, like, what do they say? If you got your health and, you know, your family and or if you're wealthy or whatever, you know, so if everything's going right in my family and my health and my pocketbook, you know, then I'm happy. If my wife is doing everything I want, I'm happy. If my husband's doing everything, you know, I want, I'm happy. Or, you know, vice versa. I sound confused there. But what happens when things ain't happening the way we want? When we face discouragement or disappointment, we thought this was going to be, you know, sometimes we look at life through rose-colored glasses, you know, and we have unrealistic expectations, you know. Or maybe they were realistic, but it didn't work. You know, when I need a real good financial job, I got one a couple years ago, and I was so happy, and then something happened with it, and there it went, you know. And I had a right to have an expectation of it, because it was offered to me, but it didn't work. Now, I can either respond to that in what? Anger, right? Fear first. You know, that's usually, anger is a secondary response to fear. You know, we get fearful because, why? Because what's the old lie that Satan told Adam and Eve? You can be like God, right? So you want to know what sin is? You want to go back to the root of it? You know, because theologians have different definitions, and we do missing the mark, right? Anything's out of God's will, right? But the root of it goes all the way back when they believed the lie. You can be as God. You don't got to depend upon God. Has God really said He's holding something back from you? Let me tell you, I got a plan for you. See? So it goes back to getting independent of God. I don't need you, God. I can be man without God. And then here's the problem. Now I got to make everything, I got to be in control, right? Because I'm God. Right? You can be as God. So everything's got to do, and if not, I'm what? Unhappy. And then I get fearful because I can't control everything. And then what happens? I get angry. And then we respond in anger, and it's a fleshly response. So what happens? It don't work. And so then what do we get? Pitiful. It always always was like that since I was a little kid. And my psychiatrist told me I need to dig up the past. And he was right, because, you know, mommy and daddy did this, and this didn't work. My another marriage didn't work, you know, whatever it might be. And we go in the past, and we're on that picture screen on our mind, we're replaying it, and then it don't stop there. What happens? You go into the future, imagining what's going to happen. And now, you got 100 angries in the past, and now 1,000 in the futures, and you're one angry individual, and self-pity, because it's always going to be like that. See, that's because we're trying to control, because going back to that lie. Now, the opposite is when we get disappointed, someone hurts us, whatever it might be. And what does God's Word say? Give thanks in all things, right? It didn't say for all things, it said in it. Because Romans 8:28, God's working all things for our good, right? So when we give thanks, we're trusting God, we're living by faith, and then what happens? What's Philippians, later we're going to get to it, Philippians 4:4-6. The peace of God that passes all understanding protects our mind and our hearts. So you get that peace of God. You know, what's fruit of Spirit? Love, joy, peace. See, that's when we're focused on the Lord. And so, in the midst of what they went through, they had joy. So we can have joy if we keep our focus on Christ. Like Paul was telling me, he says, we were talking earlier, he's the only believer at his work. And he gets a lot of flack for it. But his focus says, you know what? This ain't what it's all about. We're living for eternity, not just for today. And that's a great outlook. That way what did Paul tell Timothy? If someone seeks to live godly, they're going to be persecuted. And yet, what is godly? God-like, right? What is God-like? God is love. We're containers of God. The temple of the Holy Spirit. What is God trying to produce out of us? Love. Out of love comes what? Peace, joy. It's fruits of the Holy Spirit. So, just for your information, where we're at, we're going to be leaving, but I'll just read it real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, and it was talking about in much affliction, having received the Word of God in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So we see, even in affliction, even when we're going through things, we can have joy as we're what? Focused, dependent, and it's just a byproduct, if you want, of a focus on Christ. Even in the midst of our problems. You say, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Hey, what did these Thessalonians going through? You know, when Paul said about be anxious for nothing, or be careful for none, for you King James people. Be anxious for none, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. What did that say? Be anxious for what?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's anything. That covers everything. But what? Make you, by prayer and supplication. So what does prayer make you do? What's your focus on? God. See, right away you took your focus off the obstacle that you're building up bigger and bigger and bigger, whatever we're facing, and you turn to the Lord and you realize He's bigger than anything we face. He's mighty and powerful, and He's working all things for our good. He's for you. You know what our problem, I think, is? Microwave Christianity. We want it right now, right? Lord, I want this change right now. Change my boss, change my wife, my husband, my kids. And God's like, remember when they asked I'm trying to think the exact part, but they asked Christ something about someone else, and he pretty much what he said is, don't worry about them. I'm talking about you. So what we can make excuses why we don't apply a responding grace, because, well, you don't know my wife, my husband, my circumstances. But if we have the Holy Spirit, it's in much power and much, much joy as we're focused on Him. So let's go now to Acts chapter 16, 25 and 26. So it's just before Romans. Acts 15, verse 25 and 26. Acts 16, I'm sorry. And just for the context, time we don't have time to go through, you know, the whole chapter. This is where Paul and Silas, they're thrown into jail, and for what? Because they were out there sinning and they were doing something wrong? They're preaching the gospel. Guess what, folks? We might have to be prepared for that within the next future in the United States, the way things are going. I don't know. Hopefully, we need to keep praying for those as we do every week in church, and we should do it in our private life. But we might one day be thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, because in our country, it's turning away so much from anything about God. And it's not only turned away, there becomes a hatred. You know why? Because, remember, fallen man believes Satan's lie. You can be as God. Well, now I got to find my meaning and purpose, and I don't want to hear about God. You know, because that means I'm not God. You know? So, they're in jail for preaching the gospel. Now, were they whining? God, man, I'm preaching the gospel. I'm starting up churches. You know, doing this and I'm doing that. I'm in jail. Why me? Right? Ain't that how we get? You know, we're serving you, Lord, and all of a sudden something happens. They weren't doing that. So here's our example. Paul's our pattern and our example. In verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. So number one, what were they doing? Praying. Their focus was on God, not on the circumstances. And saying praises unto God. So they weren't whining either in their prayers. And the prisoners heard them. So there's a whole lot in here. They're praying and they're praising God just for who He is. Not to get Him to do something. It's just for who He is. And people are listening. You see how our testimony, our actions affect others. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's hands were loose. Now, I see so much in this. Now, when you study Scripture, there's only one interpretation. What's that? Paul was in jail, right? He's praying. He's praising God. They're singing. And God moved in that. And there was an earthquake, their chains are loose, right? That's the interpretation. But there's only one interpretation, but there can be many applications. And so I look at this, and I see a lot of time we're bound up with different things in our life. You know, and sometimes nobody else don't know about it, or sometimes it's maybe not even a big thing, but it's keeping us from learning to allow in Christ to express itself more and more through us. And sometimes we don't know what to do. You know? And we're like, free me, God. Free me, help me. You know, whatever our situations are. But the thing is, the cross broke the power of sin already, right? We're asking God to do something that He's already did. That's what we're appropriating by faith. It's, I'm dead to sin. Reckon yourself dead to sin, Romans chapter 6. But what? Not only I'm dead to sin, resurrection life, I'm alive to God. And what happens is, as we pray in the midst of our circumstances, and you should pray about everything. Everything, every struggle, every disappointment, whatever challenge we face, you should be anxious for none, right? But by prayer. But then what? You have thanksgiving, and as we're praying and praising God, praise, I believe, breaks chains in our lives. And it produces joy. You know, on the way here, I was singing to the Lord and I was just having church in the car, you know. I was just, I'm focused on the Lord, you know, instead of focused on me. Oh, I got to do everything right tonight, Lord. No, it's Lord, I'm available. You know, I'm one with Christ. I have union with Christ. I'm a container of God. God, express yourself out of me tonight. And for what? To build up the body. That's why in Ephesians, what's it say? God gave pastors and teachers to what? For the edification of the body, for the work of the ministry. So it's not just for me to do the work. I have to work to study and be prepared, but that ain't going to bust the grape if I don't depend upon God. And then as I'm helping equip you, the Holy Spirit using me, you get out there and do the work of the ministry amongst believers and, I believe, reaching out to unbelievers. And so, as we see here too, somebody went through the worst night of their life. The Philippian jailer, didn't he? He's ready to take a sword, man, and this is it. Because you know what the Romans would have did to him? Like I said, I don't got time to get back into it. I could show you what they would have did to him. But he would have been dead. And it probably wouldn't have been a nice death. But what happened? Because Paul and Silas were focused on the Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit used them. No, stop. And what did he do? Shared the gospel with them, right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou will be saved, and your family. Shares it with family, the rest of the people in the family believe. A whole family got saved because Paul was focused on the Lord. And you think that'll just happen to Paul? That's us too. As we're focused on the Lord, God will use us to touch other people. And isn't that joy? That He uses you to touch one person? You know, when I went to Cook County Jail, the only one I know of that got saved, I don't know, maybe there was others, one guy that I knew growing up. But it was worth going there a couple of years. One guy, his whole eternity got changed. He got saved, and he touches people from the streets a lot. And so I'm just so thankful for that. So let's go to Romans 14:17. So books to the right. And this is talking about not the kingdom on earth. This is God's universal kingdom. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's joy in the Holy Spirit. It's as we see too, and as we study other places, it's power. It's power, you know, that's one of the powers the Holy Spirit does in us, that we can have joy in the midst of everything. And don't you think that's a testimony to other people? When they're looking at you and you're going through things, you know, or how about when things are going good and we're focused on the Lord? And that's still our main thing. Like, you're getting published, right? And I was thinking, I was praying for you. I said, Lord, thank you for opening up that door for you. And I was praying that, Lord, help keep our focus on you. Because sometimes we can get our focus, you know, off. You know, so we need to keep each other in prayer. So whether it's going through the hard times or sometime the more you got, the more the chance there is to sin. Now, I remember when I had my business. I had a whole lot more money than I got now. But I wasn't as focused on the Lord. So that thing's gone. And Mary asked me, do you miss having the business, honey? I'm like, nope. I miss that check. You know, but I don't miss the problems and the aggravations and distractions. You know. All right, let's go to Philippians 3, 1 to 3. So stage right in your Bible, two books. Philippians 3, 1 to 3. Right after Ephesians. Sorry about no air. I don't know where the thing is, and I'll have to find out. Or if somebody, I'm not going to be at church Sunday. I'm going to visit my son and see my grandson. So pray that God will use me in his life. So if you can remember to ask somebody, I'm sure you will. But this gives you a feeling of being in that prison, you know. Everything ain't in the inner dungeon. Okay. Philippians 3, what did I say? 3, 1 to 3. Finally, my brethren, Paul's kind of wrapping it up and he's trying to get it all in. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. That idea they're safe, it's a safeguard. Sometimes, like, you'll hear me repeating things about our life in Christ and that, but it's a safeguard to remind you. And I don't mind doing it over and over and over. You know, I'm used to telling bad jokes over and over and over, so I might as well, you know, share the good stuff. So, beware the dogs, beware the evil workers, beware the concision. That's the idea. In the New King James says the mutilation, the legalist. That's the idea there. Beware of the legalist. Why? Because legalism will suck your spiritual life right out of you. You'll never lose your spiritual life. It will suck that empowering right out of you. Because legalism is always what you can do in your own strength for God. See, that's why it sounds so good. Oh, well, and you hear that in preaching. Well, if God did this for you, if you really love Him, then you should do this for Him. See, but it's sort of calling you to perform. Like I, you know, the pastor, when he was saying he was going to go teach at the youth camp, and he had to run out of church, so I caught him real quick. And I said, the only suggestion, because he always asks for his suggestions, I says I would do is, when you're calling them to make a difference in the world by offering their bodies as a living sacrifice, make sure that you let them know on their own strength they can't do it. You know, that will just be all works of the flesh, it's called. But what is the spirit? Fruit. Fruit is what? Vibrant. It's got vitamins. It gives health. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. But the works of the flesh, you know, like, think about, some people got a job they love, but most people don't. When you got to go to work, that's not a happy thing, you know, unless you're thinking, like, while I'm at work, I'm not all into the job, but I'm like, thank you, Lord, I have work. See, I'm thankful for that. So he says, in verse 3, for we are the circumcision. Now, we're not the spiritual Israel, warmed over, extended. Paul's using this as an illustration, because in the Old Testament, they were God's people. They were the circumcision. That was the sign. You know, and then they had the law that came along, I think, 400 and some years later. But what Paul's saying, we are the circumcision, and we are spiritually. Because in Colossians, what's it say? We were cut out of the flesh with the circumcision not made with hands. It's a spiritual. You're cut out of Adam. You know, and God places us in the Christ. What a wonderful truth. So, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So, what are we doing? We're worshiping God in the Spirit, and when we're worshiping God, what's it say we're doing? We're rejoicing in Christ. What does that word rejoice bring to your mind? Like, when I look at it, it's re means what? Over and over and over. And joyce. So to me, I'd have to look in the Greek. But I think that means rejoy, rejoy, rejoy. It's a command. Do you know when we're not rejoicing, we're in sin? Boy, you know, it's easy to see the outward sins of other people. But when we're worrying, you know, that's a sin. Yeah. But what's the answer to it? Thanksgiving, you know, praise, worship. And to worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ, you can't have any confidence in your flesh and what you can do on your own. And the majority in Christendom, I'll say 90%, I'm being nice, don't understand it's a performance based. It's a lot of activities. You know, busy but a barren life, Major Ian Thomas used to say. All right, let's go to Galatians 5:22. So a couple books back. First, he's talking about the works of the flesh, but contrary. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. What do you see there? Joy. Because out of love comes joy. I believe it's singular love. And it's like a crystal. The love is like the light that shines into a crystal and it comes out in all these beautiful colors. You know. So out of love comes joy, peace, long-suffering, that's patience, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, temperament, self-control. Against such there's no law. See, when you're loving, you'll never break the law, because love is the fulfillment of love. And that's what God wants to express to us. Love. God is love. And he's also, you can't stop there, because everybody likes that on believers, right? Oh, my God's a God of love. He never sent anybody to hell, because he's just a God of love. My fluffy, nice God up in the sky, who I imagine, who took one verse in my whole theology about God. But it says God is just, and he's righteous, and he's merciful, and he's compassionate, right? There's many things that says God is. But in his main essence, God is love. And so we're created like animals, what? Well, let's start with creation. God's fingerprints are on creation, right? Creation shouts, there's a God. When you look at the mountains, the great Rocky Mountains or the Grand Canyon, people come from all over the world to see it. You see God's creativity and his power, right? You see the oceans, again, his power, his depth. The stars, his creativity. There's millions and millions that we don't even see unless you got a stronger telescope. So on them things, and the animals, you see his creativity, right? All the different colored birds and dogs. You know, I'm a professional dog trainer, so I appreciate, like, when you see a German Shepherd doing what they're bred to do, or a Border Collie herding sheep, and you just see God's creativity and his humor, I think, in the animal. You know, look at some orangutans, you know, and some platypus. That's a funny-looking little animal, you know. But out of all them things, they don't express God's love. A lot of unsaved people like going into the wilderness, right? They say, that's my time with God. You can't see his love. You know what God created man for? To contain God, his spirit. And then what? Express his love out. And if you're loving, you won't kill, right? You won't lie. You won't steal. You won't covet. A desire to even do it. That's what covet means, a desire. You know? So we're the only... We have such significance and have so much meaning and purpose because we are containers. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And out of us, he wants to reach out. And when we're allowing him, when we're not quenching the Spirit, if you want, then he does that, and there's a joy in that. You know, and then people see the joy. Have you ever heard somebody say, the reason I came to Christ, I seen something in somebody and I knew I didn't have it. So, let's see, where were we at? Okay. And I'm just going to go to 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. When did you crucify the flesh? When you died with Christ. Romans 6. You died with Christ. He died to sin, right? It has been crucified. And when we appropriate by faith and when we get, again, tempted for whatever it is, there's different things. What about tempted for pride? To self-righteousness, you know? So we appropriate by faith what God says true, and then what happens, the Holy Spirit takes that and makes it real in our life. And that's a reality. It's called the reality of the resurrection. Let's look at Nehemiah 8:10. It's just before Psalms, a little bit. So, Psalms is a big book. If you can find that, go to your left a little bit. Esther, and I think Nehemiah. See, some things are transdispensational. You know, we need to rightly divide the word and see differences. But we also need to see some commonalities. Steve is going to teach on that, actually. Some things that we learn and we see Christ, like in the Old Testament, and different things. You know, for David, he needed the empowerment of the Spirit. But it's different. See, that's why he rightly divided. David said what? Take not thy Spirit from me, O Lord. What does Paul tell us? We're sealed with the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption. You know, he'll never leave us, never forsake us. What a faithful, you know, even when we're not faithful, God's faithful, Christ is faithful, and the Spirit's faithful. But look at this. In verse 10. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat. So he's saying, go enjoy, have a big party, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them whom none prepared. So don't forget about the other people. The Corinthians should have read this, right? They're eating up all the food and drinking up all the wine, and it was wine. It wasn't grape juice. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's transdispensational. When we have that joy of the Lord, there's a strength. You know why? Because when we're focused on the Lord and His joy's in us, them temporarily satisfactions in the world lose their appeal. You know, like if I got the joy of the Lord, I don't need to go smoke a joint. I have peace. That's one reason when I came to the Lord, I didn't have to. I gave away. I had some weed. I gave it away. I should have threw it away, but I wasn't being my mind transformed yet. I said, well, I don't want to waste it. It'd be kind of dumb. I'm just going to give it away. And I was telling people, I don't need to get high no more. I got. I'm happy. I used to ask people, are you happy? You know, and they'd look at you, like, what are you talking about? I said, I like myself now that I know Jesus. You know, okay. They used to call me Muggsy. Muggsy's the Jesus freaking neighborhood, but I didn't care. I had joy and I had happiness and I had that satisfaction and you know what I want to do? I want to share it with everybody. Remember when you first got saved? What happens? Because all of a sudden you get underperformance. So what's the answer to that? Why were you rejoicing when you first got saved? Because Christ saved you. I'm completely forgiven. I'm declared righteous. If you even understood that, I didn't even understand that back then. All I knew was Jesus loved me and He died for me and He forgave my sins. I just didn't understand not only my past, even the ones I'll come in the future. So I was focused on the Lord. So what's the answer when we get apathetic? Focus on the Lord. And where are you going to get usually your focus on the Lord? Getting into this word and praying and assembling with other believers too. Coming to church, a grace teaching church, because I'd rather, to tell you the truth, go to no church than go to a legalistic church. You know, and I do believe we should assemble together. But, you know, if truth sets you free, then what's error going to do? Put you in bondage, put you in shackles, you know. So if there was no grace, I mean, I travel a long way to come to a grace church. I could go in the neighborhood because I want to grow myself. You know, believe it or not, I really don't know everything. You know, I want to grow. I learn from all of you as we talk and we share. We talk about the word from the pastor, from Dave. You know, from different. I love the CD ministry and I have a lot of cassettes. And I learned from different sound grace teachers, and they teach me things. I'm just finished listening to a series by Malcolm Smith. He's charismatic, very conservative. He's not all, you know, the signs and wonders, but he does understand the life of Christ in you. and through dependence, how Christ will express Himself out of you. So I learned from him, you know. And I love to teach him right division because, man, if he got that, now take that next step of being even more accurate with the words, you know. But I want you to see in here, I don't think we're not going to get to the next topic. The context of here, so what did he say? The joy of the Lord is your strength, right? I want you to see something. In chapter 8, the end of the verse, and the ears of the people were attentive unto the book of the law. See, they brought out God's word. That's what they had back then, the law, right? And then in verse 5, and Ezra opened the book. What do we do at church on Sundays? What are we doing tonight? Opening the book. Do you know, watch, quote, Christian, unquote, TV. You know what they usually do? Especially the big mega ministries. I don't know, should I be nice and mention names? Be nice and mention names. I'm going to just throw one out there because he's so popular. And when you teach public, then you're open to, within the church or outside the church, to questioning. It's not putting somebody down, running them down, but it's you have a responsibility. So you made it public so the public can question or review what your teaching is. So I'm going to just give you an example, and I pray for this man, Joel Osteen. I've heard grace believers that like listening to him. He appeals to the flesh. And if you notice, he takes one, maybe three verses, and then gives all these testimonies to back up what he's trying to teach. You didn't even get the context of the whole message. And then here's the message I heard at the end, because I'll listen to him once in a while. And he takes verses out of context many times. You got to have your Bible open, and you know, so you're immune to that prosperity gospel. Here's what he said it was. Repent and ask Jesus in your heart. That's gospel. That's how you get saved. That's not how you get saved. Yeah, you repent. Repent means mind change. You change your mind from unbelief to belief. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Nowhere in the Bible does it say ask Him in your heart. Now, when I got saved, I said, Lord, I believe You died for my sins. I was saved that moment. And I did say, Lord, come in my heart. Because they had mentioned that. And there is that idea, He does come in your heart. So I'm not saying it's such a bad thing, but you could ask Him in your heart, but if you don't believe He died for your sins, you're not saved. And that's a very shallow message. And so there's a lot out there that is not based on the Word of God. It's more based on, I'm going to read in what I want to preach and find verses to back it up. And so I do pray for Joel Osteen. I pray for Benny Hinn. I pray for Joyce Myers. You know, there's a lot of Word and Faith teachers, and I pray for them. I'm not attacking them as people. What I'm doing, I'm bringing up some of the teaching, so because people get sucked into it. I know wonderful Christians that are all into them, and you know what's the bad thing? Because that type of teaching, the name and claim it, blab it and grab it, you confess prosperity, you confess healing, and what happens when you're not healed? What happens when you give your $100 and you don't get that thousandfold return? What happens? You think the Word of God is full of bull. See? And what will they say? They won't say they're wrong. They'll say, you ain't got enough faith. They throw it back on you. What every good, kind man does. It ain't my fault. You know, I remember a dude, he's telling me about this bike. He went, when I owned Archer Puppies, he wanted to trade me a 10-speed for a pit bull puppy. And the dude was kind of a crackhead, so he could talk, boy. He was a salesman, right? And he's telling me about this bike. He goes, yeah, I got this saddlebag on there and this thing. I redid the whole thing, and it sounded like, man, a good deal. I saw that bike, it was like a jalopy, man. You know? And that's what happens. When you get sucked in, you know, Paul says what? That God gave pastors and teachers what? That we might be, the church might be built up and edified, that we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes in the church. So a good pastor or teacher warns about, there's sometimes wolves in the church. You know, I'll just mention one more name. Christ mentioned the Pharisees. Paul mentioned people by name. Kenneth Copeland, he's one of the biggest in the Word and Faith movement. He's got 5 jets, not airplanes, jets. And when a reporter questioned him about it, he said, I don't got an answer to you. Now, see, a man of God, you should be able to say why you do what you do. You shouldn't have nothing to hide. You know? Anyway, I went there to show you something here. Real revival in believers, because you know, the church prays for revival a lot of times. And they're praying for revival to go out here and people will come in, you know, like Billy Graham crusades and stuff. Revival is within God's people's hearts. And when we're revived, what happens? God uses us to reach out to them. That's revival. And so, we're in the Old Testament, but we can learn something here. In verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord. So what did he start out with? Praising God, right? Why? To get some? No, because God is worthy to be praised. The great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, and lifted up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So we see they start praising God. Because they, why? They started hearing the Word of God. See, they didn't have it for a while. And then you see, I'll just keep reading. And also, Jeshua and Bani, I'm going to skip them names, and I'm going to go to the middle of the verse because I'll probably mispronounce them. Caused the people, listen to this, caused the people to understand the law. They caused them to understand God's Word. And the people stood in their place. They were understanding now, and what? They got attentive. He wasn't just telling stories and testimonies, you know, and you don't even know if most of them testimonies are true. You believe in all the commercials? You believe every commercial you see? Because they're trying to sell you something too. In verse 8, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand this reading. So that's the idea. When the Word of God is taught and you give the meaning, that's what the teacher does. And he depends on the Holy Spirit. So I'm giving you the meaning, what it's saying, but the Holy Spirit, remember we went over illumination? He illumines our minds. And what happened? You start understanding the Word of God. You start rejoicing. You know? And there's revival in our hearts. And then goes down to verse 10. And he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Need to be sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled the people. They must have been just loud. You know, good old Pentecostal gathering without all the extras, you know. We should also want to really understand grace. We should be rejoicing. I love my brother in church. Amen, Pastor. Preach it, you know. Because it should be exciting, the Word of God. Not that, you know, it's always got, you know, some people are more expressive than others. But even the quiet ones in our hearts, it should be sort of bubbling up, you know, in our hearts. And he said at the end, the joy of the Lord is your strength. In verse 12, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions. See, they were thinking about other people, not just themselves. And to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. See, not just a bunch of stories. You know, now, testimonies have their place. I mean, I'll use illustrations in my own life if they're based on truth. But you don't read, you don't tell, get a verse and give this testimony, and if that verse is out of context, it really don't matter about that testimony. It is void. What does void mean? Empty. Zilch. It's got to be based on this Word. And we need to get our theology, what? From the Word. Our understanding from the Word. What? Rightly divided. Otherwise, there's things in the Word, right? That God promised Israel, that Christ promised the kingdom church in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Early Acts period, there's promises there. But they weren't to us. We need to know our promises, so what? So we can claim them. Did God say He'll work all things for your good? You can claim that. Did he say he would supply all your needs in Christ Jesus? Yeah. In the heavenlies? People go, well, that's all only spiritual needs. Oh, really? Don't just use one verse. Didn't God tell the Corinthians that the one who supplies seed to the sower and bread so people could eat? Be anxious for none? Shouldn't that be even our physical need? We're not promised, like the perversion teaches, that we're always going to be healed and we're going to be rich. But God will, we are promised, that God will supply all of our needs. And that we can have joy, what, in the Spirit, in the midst of while we're going through things. And God always answers our prayers. Always. You say, but He hasn't answered mine. Oh, yes, He did. Maybe He said no. Or maybe He said wait. Or He'll say yes. But He'll always do what's best for us. And we can rest on that. When me and Mary were going through all them problems, the one thing somebody I had read or came to church and preached where I was going, and they said, when you don't see the hand of God move, trust in His heart. And that's true. God is righteous, and He's always been righteous. God will never do nothing wrong. So I said, Lord, You're not going to start doing wrong with me. So I know You're going to work this for my good. I don't understand everything that's going on, and it's hard. When I got my focus off You, help me to keep my focus on Your Son. You know. And when I did, I'm rejoicing, because the Holy Spirit will produce that in us. So let's go... Philippians 4:4-8. That's what we actually already been talking about. All right, I'm gonna give a little. Since I kind of did a little correcting, I'm going to do a little, like a Pentecostal preacher, got out my hanky and, you know. And I appreciate their enthusiasm. Philippians 4:4-8. Here's the desire. Here's what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. And He will, if we'll stay focused on Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. When you see something repeated twice, that's emphasis. It's very important. And how could you be rejoicing when you're going through things? Keep reading. I'm glad you asked that question, Steve. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, to me, you can take that one way or another. The Lord's at hand to come back at any time for the rapture, and we ain't going to have none of these problems. You know, like that song, soon and very, we sang it at the rehab. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the kings. No more crying there, no more wheelchairs there, no more sin struggle there. So, He's at hand. But also, I take this, you know, somebody might see different, and I could be wrong. Is He's at hand. He's here. The Lord's always here. He's indwelling us. So we're not alone when we go through things. Sometimes we feel all alone, right? Like nobody don't understand. But what does it say? Christ was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. It was outward temptation, but He never sinned. Because you know why? Where Adam chose to get independent of God, what did Christ chose to do? Stay independent. I can do nothing on my own. As God, He could have, but He didn't come to earth to live as God. He came to live as a man so we could see what a true man, how to live. And for God's love to be expressed, He depended on the Father. So what do? We depend upon Christ, and what happens? He lives His life through us. And so, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. So when we start getting anxious, or if we have been anxious, worrying, stressing, or whatever, first thing to do, start praying. And supplication. So we're going to pray, and that idea is worship. And then you have supplication, request. You're asking. But you're not just like begging, you know, whining. It's with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And then something happens. Well, you don't just get that peace. It's as you're applying the Word of God and empowered by the Holy Spirit. See, true Holy Spirit empowering ain't what they're usually teaching. You know? Cat, bam, smack some demons out of people, or, you know, knock them over, this and that. It's being controlled by the Spirit, not against our will. And God can do more than we can ever ask or we could think or dream or imagine. He can do in our lives. And strengthen us to go through no matter what we face. And he says, and then what? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So your hearts is what? Your emotions and your minds are your thoughts. Your emotions respond to your thoughts. And so but he's given us now some things to think about. I was thinking this when I was at work, and I started thinking about some. I said, is that included in this? Because I had just been studying this. God, remember, our emotions and desires also come from our thoughts. Finally, brethren, so he's, again, wrapping it up. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So we fill our mind, we have to test when we got stinking thinking. Here's a very good mirror. See, sometimes we have stinking thinking from years, right? And what it is, a lot of things that when we got saved, the flesh tries to cling on. You know, and the Holy Spirit, as we get into this Word and under the teaching of the Word of God, what it does is shines a light. And He's not, the Holy Spirit isn't condemning us. Like, you know, God's going to get you. No, He's going, look, you're a butterfly. Why you got that germ, that nasty little bloodsucker on your back? You know? You know, throw off the deeds of darkness, right? Put on Christ. You know, that's just, and it starts inwardly, and it will work out through our attitudes and our actions. First Thessalonians 5:16-19. So a couple books to the right. So who caused Paul to write these scriptures? Christ gave him the message, the revelation, the mystery. But who caused Paul to write down exactly what God wanted written? Holy Spirit, right? And Paul. So the Holy Spirit is telling us, that's what He wants to do in us. Rejoice evermore. Always. Always rejoice. So it's not just, you know, in time, but now, even every day, rejoice. Pray without ceasing. And we kind of went over that. You're not going to be able to close your eyes and drive and do your work and write poems or, you know, whatever. Your wife or husband's talking to you and you close your eyes and you're praying. They're like, are you listening to me? Please, the Holy One is praying. No. The idea is a continual attitude of prayer. Continual communication. You know, sometimes we get our mind on something else and all of a sudden we catch it. It's like, wow, Lord, I ain't talked to you for an hour, you know, or whatever. And we're focused on Him then. And here, in everything give thanks. Why? You can give thanks because God's working it for your good. Romans 8:28. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And 19, quench not the Spirit. See, we can quench the Spirit in our lives by just not applying. You know, the Christian life is really Christ in you is spontaneous. When we're focused, it just happens. You don't even know. See, faith doesn't keep its eyes on itself. You know, when we're focused, it's like tonight. At work, I didn't get a chance to share too much today. But I was thinking about George's illustration that sometime we're like, Lord, how come I want to be used by you? How come you're not, you know? And the Lord's just like, you're like a fountain. When I'm ready, I'll turn you on. But as He fills us up, see, water got to be coming into that fountain, right? Before anything come out. And as He fills us up, as we're focused, we're into the Word, we're communicating with God, we're fellowshipping, we're rejoicing, what happens, now tonight, God turned on the faucet and it's, go ahead, Paul. You know? It's not like sometimes you don't even know. Sometimes He's using you in people's lives and you don't even know. It's just they're observing you as and it's just a spontaneous thing. As we're focused on the Lord, we're going to walk in His Spirit. And you know what this is? I'm going to close out. Malcolm Smith gave a very good illustration because, and we should have a very high esteem for the Word of God. This is the Word of God. It's God breathed, right? It's inspired by God. But this ain't God. This is His Word. And we can't know God apart from His Word. And sometimes people worship, sometimes a Bible version, or they worship, the Pharisees used to dance with the Bible all night long. And they lost God in the Bible. And I like what Malcolm Smith said. And he has a very high, the guy has most of the New Testament memorized. He's being a very legalistic thing as a teenager. Now he understands the grace of God. No, there's nobody better to teach it than somebody that had been on the other side. But what he mentioned was, the Word of God, the Bible, is like a menu. It tells you about the goodness of Christ. It tells you about joy in the Holy Spirit. It tells you about how to walk in the details of your life. But a menu, would you go to a restaurant and look at a menu and it tells you about prime rib? And you go, man, and go home and say, man, that was a great menu. No. The menu gets you so you can know, so you can taste. See, taste that the Lord is good. You know, so we don't want to worship a book, but we want to know this book is from God, and so we can get to know God, because apart from that, you're not going to. But so we can taste Him, like Paul said, that I might know Christ, the power of His resurrection, right? And fellowship of His sufferings. So I just wanted to point that out, that let's just not get, head knowledge, you know, and let the Word of God teach us, because it is living and active. So I'm not bringing it down. All I'm saying is, you can know this Word of God. The majority of Christians do, but they don't experience the abundant life, and they know this Word of God. They got a lot of it memorized. Because you got to take the Word of God and appropriate by faith and be total dependence on what happens. It's spontaneous. You'll do the things the Word teaches us. The menu teaches us that goodness. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We couldn't know none about You if not for Your Word, God. We could just see Your power and things in nature, but we couldn't know Your love and Your individual thoughts, Lord. Thank You for that. I thank You that Your Word works in us, those who believe it. And Lord, I pray that we take what we're learning from You, God, from Your Word, Father, and teach us to appropriate by faith, to be in just total dependency and just to rest in Christ and allow Him to live His life out of us. And we'll just do these things naturally, Lord. So we thank You for that. I pray that this week when we face things, Lord, the things that we learn from Your Word, from church, from our own individual studies, from the Bible study, that we'll apply it, Lord, that we might grow in Your grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, praise God. Thanks for coming out. I was wondering if anybody was going to come at first. And then Faithful Paul showed up first.